Thank you for the pause.
I have to ask, see. I have to ask Rick directly. Because we made chlorella available at a very, very good price. Until we can't even keep the substance flowing. We've outdone their capacity. And he finagles and he pushes and until he gets it. And then Ken some way gets it shipped out. And we'll do the same thing with a couple or three of these other products. Ones write me incessantly about antioxidants, etc., etc., etc. Yes, they are superb. Do they exchange one for the other of what I've suggested? No. I've given you the minimum that will absolutely save your assets in two ways. They're very not very costly, and they'll save your ass. If you don't want to take it or deal with it or do it, I can't help you. And it's not the responsibility of these people who already bear an overburden trying to get these things to readers and listeners against everybody trying to stop us. But if Rick is willing, yes, there are some other products that he can write about. But I always ask that these things be cleared with me. Because they are only enhancements. There are many herbal brews. We've talked about Essiac. That too has many names. But I'm telling you about the things that are against you right now. And I repeat, I have one willingly working diligently and doing exceptional work. Already has isolated and has in true production the life crystals. We can DNA target them. But I'm not going to spread the how-to and what-if and whereas and the phone number and location. Your one's curiosity gets a lot of cats killed and not usually self-cat. So let's use an intelligent approach to this. And if Rick is willing to set this up and Ken's willing to work his fanny off, then yes, we'll introduce these things to you and let you decide as listeners whether you want to participate. I can promise you this. We'll give you a prize nobody else can meet. But it means our people have to take on more load. And yet our purpose is not to make money off of you. It would be nice if ones could break even or make enough for the next batch. But yes, we can make these things available to you. Now I'm going to return to the subject at hand. Right after I talk about the Dan clan of Indians in Nevada. One of these days, you ones are going to learn. You don't ever drop the ball. You don't ever drop the ball. Well, these are just a couple or three or four, you know, family people out there in Nevada, and they're Native Americans, and whoever even remembers the name of their tribe, and what did they mean, the Dan clan? Well, they're Native Indians living on a reservation by treaty from the United States of America. You. And their little clan got down to just some sisters and, you know, and they've been running cattle on their reservation in this nothing land of Nevada. Nothing land. Always you put the Native Americans into Nothingville. And then you steal the property back if you can't get it any other way, if perchance anything is found on it of value. Well, gold was found on it. I think you began to get the picture. So the government decided that it no longer is a reservation. We'll just break that little treaty. Who's going to do anything? Just a few of them. What can they do? And who gives a damn? I do. Is who? So one of the first cases with the Constitutional Law Center, I said, all right, get on it. Get on it. Now find out everything there is about that situation and get it taken care of. So the last time it was checked, a couple of 3 weeks ago, we were told, oh, we believe that's all settled. On Thanksgiving, after a full week of the feds out there having gathered up over 200 head of horses and hauling them away through confiscation, they came back now to gather up all of the cows. Their whole livelihood, everything they own. One of the brothers, before cameras that probably most of you did not see because they wouldn't push it again, I promise you. But before cameras, doused himself in gasoline and set himself afire to stop them. This is America, USA. This is in violation of a treaty made by your government and violated. Well, they watched him douse himself while the feds held the sister. And then they doused him with chemicals to put out the fire. And finally, they withdrew. Guess why? It turns out their grazing permit did not expire until Friday. They will be back if they have not before now. And where are your other Indians? Some of them marching off on the Trail of Tears in commemoration of that terrible little trek. Some said this will be another Wounded Knee. How many of you even remember what Wounded Knee was about? It won't be anything. The feds will take the land and take the gold, and it will fade away from your attention. Except that if that Constitutional Law Center wishes to remain in existence, they will do something. I hope I'm clear. And before anyone gets any ideas about Treasury Gate, I've already sent word. I want them on that instantly. I do not want anyone in this group giving out the information of who to contact anywhere. Please understand me. This is dangerous. I have put off handling this because these are the very things that will get you blown off the map. This needs to be a class action suit. Publicity needs to be gotten out there everywhere to protect this person who has authored these books. They will not let him on the air anymore. He has no way of getting this more publicized unless we help. And yet he's been willing to give his name, address, and phone number. I am not willing to do this to him because the difference came when I got into it. And the least that we can do is buffer this until we see how is best to handle it. That information came full blown before I had a chance to make a plan with you once. So when ones call in response to what I'm writing, I'm leaving his address vacant. Ones who are already in knowledge of the group and the place and the plan have it. It's not that hard to get. But let it not be said that we handed it out because somebody calls on the telephone and says, I'd like please to know how to get in touch with. If you can stop a government, as in New Zealand, from what they're doing to one citizen, you've got a powerful tool. Don't underestimate it just because you don't think very many people get it. And fewer believe in Hatton. Because you see, it doesn't matter a whit anywhere in the universe whether or not you believe in Hatton. You better begin to look at what's happening. And you better stop listening to those ones who say, my Hatton wouldn't do this. My Hatton only just is a region of a little planet somewhere, and he wouldn't talk about these things. You ask God for help, God gives you help. And confound it, I'm stuck right out there in the front of the host being sent to offer that help. And anyone who doesn't want to accept it or doesn't like it doesn't have to. If you cannot see what is going on, then I suggest you go crawl in your hole somewhere. But I also suggest you stop giving your friendly neighbor advice because you are going to be responsible for him. It doesn't matter who Commander Hatton is or is not. The only thing in your perception and need to know is that this is truth, or at least it's gossip. And it's gossip worthy of attention one way or the other. I think the best way to handle this, Oberly, is maybe to share, starting at Treasury Gate. Do you have it? If you don't, we have enough document that we can work with here. Because the most important part of the document is here. And will be on there. But I think you need the background.
You wrote twice today on Treasury Gate.
Well, they can call the telephone number on the first. Let's start with let's try the third writing.
All right. Treasury Gate, the document.
Preceding this is a letter written by the author of this document called Treasury Gate 1. And you'll have access to it. This is not a secret document, but it does bear some information that I'm not going to share. So you you'll just have to kind of take it on my word for this preceding material. And this starts right into the beginning of let's discuss this document and what we're talking about. Holding in mind that at this particular point of onset, you're not going to know what is being talked about, but we will get to the documentation of the of these bearer type bombs, etc. What he is going to deal with right here, right now, is the efforts to get some attention to this and the beginnings of who's involved. And we'll just have to unfold it as we get it.
This is a transcription of a radio program with on Radio Free America with Tom Valentine. Dateline 3:60 p.m. I never heard of that kind of a time. October the 8th, 1993. That doesn't look right either. Amarillo, Texas.
Well,
anyway, somebody was a bit confused about the dateline.
Not necessarily.
Let us not get
I'm in a quandary.
By the dateline.
We have, you see, we have documents that we're going to deal with 1992, and yet some of the most important information is from February of this year. And yet the book, there are going to be two documents. One is Treasury Gate 1 and one is Treasury Gate 2, which will update on farther beyond the information that will be covered right this minute. And yet, I haven't had Dorma redo this. I think maybe Oberle I'll restructure. Let's just launch off into here and we can flesh it out or flesh it up as we go. Let's start with the February documents. I mean, this puts BCCI and all these banking scandals you see into kindergarten.
All right, it's labeled press release, dateline 3 p.m., Amarillo, Texas, February the 7th, 1992. Treasury Gate. The Treasury Gate report and press release of same is defined in over 300 pages and several hundred hours of tape recordings available to any member of a local, state, national, and international media service and is outlined below. This data is currently in the hands of Congress and has been for over 3 months. The White House and many state and national Republican leaders have been made aware of most of this data for many months. This Treasury Gate report is going public for the benefit of the citizens and taxpayers of the United States of America. This will become the largest scandal and cover-up in history. The report identifies and explains the following major points. Now we're on to the writing of today. Would it be all right if I used that?
You're actually not. Okay. Just continue from here and we'll skip the other one if everybody's with us.
Very good.
Obviously, there are 300 pages of documents. We can't. We're just barely briefly touching. And there are videotapes, there are audio tapes. There are documents in reproduction to share. And as you might guess, this is very valuable to the author of this material who has bothered to compile it for you. And this will be his way of hopefully funding some kind of suits. But I want that held until it can be worked out with the Constitutional Law Center to see how best to use the power of that center, its status, to ensure that something be heard. So let's just, please, Go ahead.
Number one, the USA is not in real economic trouble. The report alleges that the U.S. government has perpetrated a financial fraud on its citizens for the last 40 plus years. Alleges from written affidavits and verbally corroborated that the White House attempted to assassinate via the Secret Service three U.S. citizens on July the 8th, 1991 to complete the cover-up. When the assassination attempt was foiled, the Secret Service falsely arrested five individuals and subsequently indicted one of the five. Number four, the U.S. and about 15 other nations entered into a secret financial treaty in the late 1940s and early 50s to begin this fraud on not only the U.S. citizens, but the citizens of most of the rest of the free world. Number five, this secret treaty is available to be exposed in federal court in the defense of the indicted individual referenced above. The legal firm to expose this treaty is one of the largest and most respected in the United States. Number six, this secret treaty was the cause for dozens of financial debt instruments from several countries, U.S., Japan, and Switzerland, to be issued. The issue of these instruments was based on actual assets owned by these entities, but unknown to the citizens and taxpayers of each country. Number seven, the purpose of the issuing of these instruments was to secretly and illegally support other emerging countries identified herein. A, Iran. B, Panama. C, Cuba. D, India. E, Egypt. F, Cambodia. G, Iraq. H, Libya. I, Philippines. The names of the leaders identified on these instruments from above listed countries and others are A, Castro. B, Hirohito. C, Mahatma Gandhi. D, Gamal Abdel Nasser. E, Idi Amin. F, Adnan Khashoggi. G, Heng Samria. H, Muammar Gaddafi. I, Ferdinand Marcos. J, Hosni Mubarak. K, Saddam Hussein. And L, the Shah of Iran. Number eight, a verbal allegation that the individuals that ordered the assassination attempt were Mr. John H. Sununu, former Chief of Staff to the President of the United States, and Brent Scowcroft, Assistant to the President for National Security Affairs. Nine, the arrest of the five individuals resulted in national news. Four of the five were released on their own personal recognizance. The fifth remained in jail for about 70 days and finally released on a $50,000 cash bond. The federal complaint against the four was subsequently dropped. 10. The U.S. government has attempted four times to date to obtain a plea bargain agreement with the fifth entity in which the government would obtain all the remaining instruments. That agreement has been denied all four times. Number 11. Written and verbal information is available that all the financial instruments are valid. The investigative and discovery methods relating to Treasury Gate began in May of 1989. In the spring of 1990, the U.S. government was offered the following to assist in the resolution of the first portion of this matter. Number one, 50% of the total cost of the Super Collider project to be constructed near Dallas, Texas. Number two, a minimum of $500 million in low-interest loans to specific areas relating to small businesses in Texas and Oklahoma. Three, additional incentives to be identified. The result of this pleading for government assistance was positive in the beginning and ended in bribery, non-communication, and lies. In October of 1991, the Congress of the United States of America was contacted, and a subsequent commitment and resolution, along with full disclosure of all data, was given to the offices of
Representative Charlie Rose. The following is a list of some of the benefits officially committed to Congress. Number one, 100% of the total cost of the Super Collider project. Number two, a minimum of $500 million in low-interest loans to various U.S. businesses. Number three, the realistic elimination of the stated deficit of the United States. Number four is an exact duplication of number three. Number five, full financial aid to Russia and all other emerging democracies formerly associated with the USSR. Return of 15 of the known 16 U.S. certificates issued under the secret treaty so no financial harm would come to the United States. Number seven, an honest effort to allow the United States to again become the strongest nation in the world from both an economical and excuse me a minute, I'm having trouble finding the rest of this thing. I believe I found a place where we can kind of finish up. The last statement was number seven, an honest effort to allow the United States to again become the strongest nation in the world, both from an economical and military point of view. At this date, Representative Charlie Rose and possibly the Speaker of the House, Representative Thomas Foley, apparently have made no move to turn this information over to the respective committees for a full congressional investigation and hearing, despite repeated written and telephonic pleas for assistance. Finally, this press release on the Treasury Gate report promotes the following economical solutions for the benefit of the people of the United States of America as committed to the Congress of the United States, but herein redefined with authority. Number one, the endorsement of 15 of 16 of the U.S. certificates back to the United States. Number two, the elimination of the current national deficit. Number three, the elimination of the stated national debt of the United States of America. Number four, 100% funding of the Super Collider. Number five, a minimum of $500 million low-interest loans, grants to aid selected small businesses as defined. Number six, the commitment of and payment to each adult in the United States of America in the form of a tax rebate upon the resolution balance of the foreign obligations. This tax rebate should amount to between $258,000 and $500,000 per individual.
And then I will take up a collection.
This tax rebate should solve the following problems in this country. Virtually eliminate the national health care problem, create consumer demand and immediate tax base to completely bring this country out of its economic recession depression. C, drastically reduce the welfare burden that the U.S. is under. D, substantially reduce the national crime rate. E, provide food and shelter for the homeless, security for the elderly, stability and confidence for the middle class, and more of the same for the rich. There is also...
Doesn't that sound good? Sounds almost like rights, doesn't it?
I believe this is even better.
There is also additional narratives within the Treasury Great Report concerning details about the following. Number one, the oil embargo against the U.S. in the early 1970s. Number two, the Aquino assassination. Number three, gold from the Philippines. Number four, JFK assassination. Number five, October surprise. Number six, etc. On or about this date, civil lawsuits are to be prepared against the United States federal government, the individuals responsible for the alleged assassination attempt, Secret Service, Secret Service individuals that were to allegedly carry out the assassination attempt, Federal Reserve Bank, specific employees in the Federal Reserve Bank, etc., for attempted murder, false arrest, false imprisonment, etc. The federal trial date has been set for February 24th, 1992, for one entity that was indicted. In all likelihood, the Justice Department will ask to delay that trial until after the election in November of 1992. All, I repeat, all data is available in over 300 pages of copyrighted material. This includes all paperwork to the House of Representatives, the President of the United States, senators, Swiss government, Swiss government, all individuals involved, the transcripts of telephonic outgoing and incoming messages. For information on how to obtain this data, please contact, and so forth. The portion of this story made local, statewide, and national news in the summer of 1991. It was published in most of the newspapers in Texas, along with national news via television and radio, Paul Harvey and Charles Osgood, to name a few. Over 100 entities have this story. The 100 equate to about 300 individuals, and they have been kept informed for almost 2 years in a bi-monthly newsletter. Their names, addresses, and phone numbers are available for your verification within the Treasury Gate report. Do yourself, your family, and your country a favor, investigate and report. Treasury Gate, thank you for your attention. I believe that's the end of the...
Well, that may be the end of that one. See about the other one from February.
Yeah, we better go to pause in while I look. All right. Here's a letter to President George Bush, the White House, Washington, D.C., regarding Treasury Gate. It's dated February the 20th, 1992. Dear Mr. President, I write you in a sincere effort to ask your assistance in successfully resolving the above-referenced Treasury Gate matter as defined in the enclosure, and by your doing so, forever put this problem behind our country's great history. This letter of information, pleading, and faith is written to you with an attitude of full respect for your office, your long governmental service, and the nation you serve and in which we all live and love. Additionally, this letter provides you with data with which you quite possibly may be unfamiliar. For almost 2 years, I and others have been trying to resolve a group of international bank obligations written in U.S. dollars and written on major banks in Switzerland and the United Kingdom. Along with many private efforts, we have asked for assistance from the Congress of the United States of America and several substantial state and national politicians, some of which are listed herein. Number one, Senator Phil Graham, Texas. Number two, Senator Lloyd Benson, Texas. Three, Senator Richard H. Bryan, Nevada. Four, Representative Charlie Ross, North Carolina. Five, Representative Tom Foley, Washington. Six, John Sharp, Texas. Seven, Governor Ann Richards, Texas. Eight, Representative Ray Thornton, Arkansas. And nine, Governor Bill Clinton, Arkansas. To date, we have had many unfulfilled promises and very solid roadblocks. We simply couldn't understand why we would get right up to the successful door and then all of a sudden everything would stop. In late June of 1991, we were asked to verify and resolve a group of United States Treasury financial instruments of which we had no prior knowledge. At the same time, we were given another group of Japanese financial instruments, exactly like the U.S. instruments, that were to be resolved after the U.S. instruments. The financial objective of each group of instruments was generally the following. Number one, return 15 of the 16 U.S. instruments back to the United States government for the benefit of the United States government. Number two, resolve the Swiss and English instruments with the assistance of the U.S. government and provide 40% of that resolution to the U.S. government for the general benefit of the people. Number three, resolve the Japanese instruments with the assistance of the U.S. government and provide 50% of that resolution to the U.S. government for the general benefit of the people. In order to accomplish this task quietly for the benefit of all concerned, we were led to one of your political friends, Mr. Robert C. Johnson, Executive Director of International Real Estate Institute in Scottsdale, Arizona. On July 3, 1991, we met with Mr. Johnson in Arizona, and he has shown all originals of each set of, and he was shown all originals of each set of instruments. We explained that we wanted his help through his governmental contacts to set an appointment with the Federal Reserve Bank in Dallas, Texas. In that Federal Reserve Bank meeting, we wanted them to verify the U.S. instruments and help us follow the instructions to return them back to the United States of America. Mr. Johnson agreed to assist us and set the meeting with the Federal Reserve Bank in Dallas for 10 a.m. on July the 8th, 1991. We made the Federal Reserve Bank meetings in Dallas, and 6 hours later, were confronted by the Secret Service with guns drawn in our hotel room at the Hyatt Regency Hotel. 6 hours after that confrontation by the Secret Service, we were arrested. At the same time, the gentleman with whom we were contracted was arrested in his hotel room in Austin, Texas. His name and title is...
Leave it.
Okay. The four of us that were arrested in Dallas on July the 8th, 1991, spent 1 week in prison and were released on our own personal recognizance. The false complaint against us was dropped on August the 5th, 1991. The appropriate judicial reference is Northern District of Texas. The fifth arrested entity was indicted on 2 counts on August the 6th, 1991, but held in prison for over 70 days. He was finally released on a $50,000 cash bond. His first pretrial hearing was January the 22nd, 1992, and his trial is scheduled to start on February the 24th, 1992. The prosecution, through his former attorney, has attempted 4 times since February 22nd to get Mr. to sign a plea bargain agreement, and 4 times he has declined. He will go to trial and defend himself with the certified facts and licensed witnesses. Beginning in early September of 1991, I was assisted in presenting the majority of this information to the Congress of the United States of America through the good offices of Representative Charlie Rose and Representative Tom Foley, the Speaker of the House of Representatives. Well, I've got another glitch here, so I'll put it on pause till I find my place. All right, I've found there's a missing line because of the way the copying or faxing occurred. So I can't finish that statement, but it begins with a short list of people. Mr. Tom.
Well, it's that interesting list of people that we need to share, so.
All right. These are the people who are assisting Mr. Rose. And the first name is Tom Stresminski. He's staff for Representative Rose. And then number two is Heidi M. Pinder, special counsel to Representative Rose, Steve Ross of the Speaker's office, and Keith and Sam White. Representative Charlie Rose went to the extent of sending a special letter of invitation to the incarcerated prisoner so that he could come to Washington, D.C. The letter was dated October the 7th, 1991, sent from the Committee on Agriculture, Subcommittee on Department Operations, Research, and Foreign Agriculture, and signed by Representative Charlie Rose. The letter was...
See, note. Department of Agriculture again. And how did your government funnel money through BCCI and BNL? Through the Agriculture Department.
The letter was addressed. The letter was... was addressed to Honorable James R. Nolan, Federal District Judge for the United States District Court, Western District of Texas, Austin Division. Judge Nolan is the presiding judge over the case and is also the judge that is being investigated by the Texas Attorney General for judicial impropriety. On October the 24th, 1991, on my second trip to Washington, I presented full documentation of what is now titled Treasury Gate and the original of one of the Swiss instruments to Congressman Rose's office and the commitment of all instruments to his good offices, Congress, for the benefit of the United States of America. All of that data is still in the offices of Representative Charlie Rose. Around the first week of December, I was informed by telephone that when we were all arrested in Dallas, Texas on July the 8th, we were actually to be assassinated. Within about 2 weeks, I received three affidavits that stated not only were the financial instruments valid, but there actually was an order to have us assassinated. Later, on December the 15th of 91, the indicted prisoner told me in person that those who ordered that assassination were Mr. John Sununu and Brent Scowcroft. The information from the affidavits came from an FBI report. Copies are available. After the prisoner's pretrial hearing on January 22, 1992, I was informed about the real problem relating to all the financial instruments. It seems there is a secret treaty involving 15 nations and 13 trustees that very few officials in each participating country that is a party to the treaty knows about. Those trustees that are known only by code are USA, and there is a dollar US trustee, and so forth, UK, pound sterling, symbol, so-and-so, Japan, yen, symbol, so-and-so, Switzerland.
Are there numbers?
Bunches of them.
Well, let's hear them.
Oh, you want them all on the record. USA 677009 B period L. UK.
Well, never mind. That doesn't mean anything to ones in here. We're talking massive, massive amounts of money. And it's impressive. You know, any time you can have $275 billion. Go, just interrupt long enough to go back to that document that is copied, that instrument. What does it say?
All right, there are several.
Just the first one at this point.